I know, gosh dang it. Trump and this deal, I'll tell you what you need to know about this debt ceiling thing. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC, live, as always, from the Sweet James Studios, in an undisclosed location on the right side of the Orange Curtain, 800-222-5222, if you'd like to be on the program. Sam@samnation.com is the email. And I do check that periodically through the show. Look, everyone in Washington, apparently now including Trump, is just punch drunk love about free money, right? I mean, that's what this debt ceiling thing is. You keep pushing the ball down the road, and anyone, you and I, we both can only spend the dollars that we have in our pocket. And what happens when we take on that nice, fantastic offer in the credit card? You know, the you get the credit card offer in the mail and the low interest payment, and then next thing you know, debt spiraling out of control, and then you're in a pickle, and eventually you have to do something about it, right? We, as normal consumers, normal Americans out there, we have to do something about our debt, but not the government, not the Democrats, not the Republicans. They are all just spend happy when it comes to money. Now, I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to sit here read tea leaves on this just yet, because I need to. It's all pretty fresh, and I've got some feelers out to some sources. So I'll talk more about this tomorrow. No doubt. Every story you are seeing right now about Republicans whining that Trump is an unreliable partner, well, I think they can go suck it, because the Senate Republicans and even congressional Republicans, for the most part, have been an unreliable partner to Trump. Last time I checked, the way these things work is when you have a reliable partner relationship, it's a two-way street. Would you tell me, please, what congressional Republicans have done for Trump in the last 6 months? Nothing. Zero. Giant goose eggs everywhere. Exactly. So I put no stock in any of that. That is totally irrelevant. But basically what has happened is we've pushed the ball down the road another 3 months. So it's a patch. It's an extension of the debt limit. Raises it through December 15th, and it's just a continuing resolution. Same thing they do year over year over year. And this is, by the way, not what Trump voters wanted. It is not. Because Trump voters are waiting for Trump to stand up to this. This is the exact thing. Do you remember when Obama lectured George Bush, when Obama was running in 2008, how it was immoral. It was immoral and un-American for Bush to have allowed the debt to grow as it did in his 8 years in president. And here you go. The debt rose even more precipitously under Obama, and now it's raising it. It's going up again. It's a spending thing. It's a spending issue. You and I, when we've got more money going out than coming in, eventually it's not going to be good. So the government needs to get a grip on this, and Trump risks really political suicide over this issue. Because you see, the big picture in all of this is not what the media frames the crisis du jour to be. By the way, when's the last time you heard about Russia? I mean, Trump Russia. 2 months ago, 3 months ago, was promising the end of the Trump presidency. It's nothing. It's zero. It doesn't matter what Mueller comes back with. He's going to slap a few people on the wrist. He might get Manafort or somebody. There will be an indictment more than likely. But it's not an issue. It does not imperil Trump. It does not go to the heart of the Trump presidency. What does are the core issues that matter to the voters that put him into office. One of those core issues is government fiscal responsibility. We as Americans are fed up. We want the government to be fiscally responsible the same way that we are. I mean, I totally understand why Democrats, you know, I mean, I understand. Look, nobody wants to own pulling back and tightening purse strings, because then you have to begin making very difficult choices about who gets what and who doesn't get what. More importantly, it is always easier to get used to spending more money than not. And this is the problem of our political system, because we live in a world where votes are bought with freebies. And we've become accustomed to this. And it's putting us in a very bad predicament. But how this plays out politically is this. McConnell, who is the great chinless, jawless wonder in the Senate Majority Leader today, you can almost hear it, by the way, in his voice. Let's play the clip. This is him complaining that Trump has basically run away with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Have a listen to this.
The president agreed with Senator Schumer and Congresswoman Pelosi to do a 3-month CR and a debt ceiling into December. And that's what I will be offering based on the president's decision to the bill. And then we'll try to get 60 votes and move forward.
Yeah, my wife has run away with her boyfriend. And so now I am going to go along to their party. It kind of sounds like that. You can hear the ire in his voice. Make no mistake, McConnell is livid. He may look, he's kind of an unflappable guy. He's been in Washington forever, so these guys kind of develop a very thick-skinned veneer. I mean, and in his case, by the way, Mitch McConnell, you look at him, he's a fine waxy finish. He actually glows under the Klieg lights when they put him up there in press conferences. Madame Tussaud's version of Mitch McConnell no doubt looks more lifelike than Mitch McConnell himself. That's how you know you're seeing the real Mitch McConnell. So at any rate, this is all nonsense. This is all baloney. He is livid. He is pissed. And you know, Trump may very well have done this just out of spite. And on some level, I don't fault him for that. I don't fault him sending a message right now to Republicans saying, look, if the Democrats want to work with me, I'll work with the Democrats. You guys aren't getting it done. My problem here, my fundamental problem, my first visceral reaction to this is not one of strategy, but one of substance. The substance of it bothers me because I am a fiscal conservative. And we as fiscal conservatives have to be consistent in our approach, especially to the debt issue. It's cuts have got to be made. Now, all of this, of course, is playing out with Harvey relief. And now we've got another hurricane. Irma's bearing down on Florida. It's disastrous. You understand Trump in the background. There's a giant kind of thought bubble floating over this whole situation with the debt ceiling, which is Trump does not want to by any way. He is paranoid about not getting ahead of hurricane relief and being seen as weak, indecisive, unresponsive, uncaring on this issue. And his concern, I've told you before, I think it's really born from Bush and Katrina and all that. But the problem he risks here is giving away the store to the Democrats, who will gladly run Trump's economy and run taxes, it'll run the entire agenda into the sewer. This is, and the media is waiting to pounce, and the media will pounce regardless. I mean, you know, Trump could come up and cure cancer next week, and they will still paint him as one of the three dark horsemen of the apocalypse. So you got another hurricane. By the way, you said there's another hurricane behind Irma. That hurricane is named Jose, and many of our friends on the left are speculating that Trump will not let Jose into the country. So we'll see how that goes. I had to. That was a great meme that's floating around the internet today. So, and by the way, the other story here behind all of this too is that there's a Democratic senator in the Senate, and this guy, you've heard about him, Robert Menendez, senator from New Jersey, and his trial, his corruption trial, is starting this week. Preliminary hearings are underway right now. And the fascinating thing, the media is not even reporting this at all. You might not even have heard of it. Certainly, if you watch, you know, NBC, MSNBC, and CNN, there's barely a whiff of it. There's a New York Times article by this is fascinating, too. New York Times article does a whole write up on everything that Menendez did and what he's accused of. And guess what? They fail to mention that he's a Democrat. They don't even mention in the article. And NBC News mistakenly, right, quote unquote, mistakenly calls him a Republican. Now, this is the charges against him are pretty damning. He's got a really good friend down in Florida. Now, this guy's a very wealthy ophthalmologist. He's his biggest campaign donor. And basically, this guy's giving him money. And as soon as the guy gives him money, the senator Menendez goes and pressures different state agencies, federal agencies to make deals that are helpful to this doctor. It's classic corruption. Now, he may or may not get convicted. If he does get convicted, remember the Senate? Very tight. Every vote counts. He's a Democrat. So what happens when a Democrat or Republican, doesn't matter, any senator gets convicted of a crime? It's interesting. It's not an automatic out. You don't get booted automatically. You actually have to get expelled from the Senate by a two-thirds vote of your peers, of the remaining senators. And this, I looked at the math. I think this means about 15 Democrats would have to vote against him. And I wonder what they're going to do. Don't you? Because incidentally, aren't these the same Democrats? And you'll hear this. I mean, these are the Democrats who basically had Trump tarred and feathered and trussed up. Even though we had, I mean, on Trump Russia, right? They're having. Well, here, have a listen to this. This is Chuck Schumer, who is the Senate Majority Leader. Listen to him dance around at Senator Menendez's defense and the state of his guilt or innocence. Listen to this.
Senator Menendez is issuing a spirited defense. We all believe in the presumption of innocence in this country, and Senator Menendez is fighting very hard, and we respect that greatly.
Oh, we all believe in the presumption of innocence in this country. Huh. Well, that's a lofty bit of high-mindedness from Chucky Schumer. Isn't this the guy who's basically was ready to give Trump the boot and to put handcuffs on the Trumpster, you know, claiming that he was, you know, granted, we don't have any evidence yet, but just wait, it'll come. Guilty of sin. It's always fun to see politicians twist and turn. So what I hear in this statement, I hear in this sort of very crafted defense of Menendez, I hear in it there's a degree of fear right now because the Democrats will be in this position where they either gonna have to not expel him, or they expel him, and then what? They've got Chris Christie as the governor of New Jersey. Chris Christie is a big Republican. Actually, he's big. And a Republican. So what happens? Christie, who does he put in? Well, I don't think it takes a genius. You've got to put in a Republican. And what does that do to the balance of power in the Senate? You see? Starts to get kind of curious. So maybe, could you imagine going to get 15 Democrats to expel their longtime buddy, Senator Menendez? Maybe not. Boy, well, wouldn't that be an embarrassing albatross to have around their necks? So we'll see how this goes. But this is, we're going to watch this closely because this Menendez trial is going to be huge. All right, DACA. There's more absurdity on this. The entire immigration debate is framed in the wrong way, in my opinion. So don't go anywhere. I want to talk about this when we come back next after the break. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Now, when we talk about immigration, we're not talking about illegal immigration. But you would think when you listen to the media, they conflate the two, and they do it deliberately. And not just the media, but really the left does this all the time. And as an immigrant, boy, does this irk me. Have a listen to this. This is David Gergen last night talking about the difference between Obama and Trump. He's on CNN with Don Lemon, and this is what he said.
President Obama and President Trump not only disagree on policies, they disagree on values. It goes to very basic things, whether you have respect for minorities, whether you have a belief in diversity, whether you think this country should welcome and continue to hold up the Statue of Liberty as a symbol of what we believe in.
This is so absurd. Trump does not have respect for minorities. And this is all in context of the DACA executive order that Trump properly rescinded. It's been killed in the courts. We talked about that last night. But it has to do with whom exactly? To whom does this apply? To minorities or to aliens who have entered this country unlawfully? To illegal immigrants who have broken the law? And it doesn't, you know, the law, as it currently stands, does not see a child who enters a country illegally any different than it does the parents who have brought the child illegally. Citizenship in most countries follows a birthright. I mean, there's, you know, you get citizenship through your parents. This is kind of how it works. And we're very unusual and we're very magnanimous as a country for allowing people to have citizenship here simply by virtue of their birth, of being physically present in the country at the time of their birth. But the bigger issue here, this respect for minorities, immigration is a matter of law. It's governed by law. Legal immigration does not discriminate based on skin color, based on national origin. We may give preferences to certain countries and certain groups of individuals, but Trump is not advocating that we import only people from, and we talked about this. Remember when Trump wanted to put in the restriction on English, on having English be the prefer people who speak English. And the outcry was, well, we're trying to blacklist, you know, people who are from non-white countries. And it's absurd because so many immigrants that I know that come from Asia, come from India, speak phenomenal English. And we should prioritize those people. There's nothing racist or inherently anti. You know how many people? I mean, people I know in Mexico that live in Mexico, that function in Mexico City, that speak fantastic English. It's just but the media and the left want to portray this as a race issue because they want to make this about race. They want to make this about division, about and they want to paint, right? They want to paint Republicans as this anti-immigrant party. The only problem with it is that I know, and I many of you have the same experience. I'll tell you, virtually all people that I know that I interact with that are first or second generation immigrants, many of whom come from Hispanic countries, Latin countries, so many of them are Trump supporters. This idea that you're going to paint Trump as a racist, it's a non-starter, and I've been saying it doesn't work. It doesn't work because it rings hollow. And the people that came to this country legally, that sacrificed in order to follow the rules, follow the law, and followed that correct path, they are offended and they are incensed by illegal immigration. And the thought that the government is actually debating on whether to, hey, you know, cut, you know, these lawbreakers some slack offends them to their core. So listen up, Democrats. You really want to lose a chunk of the minorities, as you put it here, David Gergen? Just go ahead and keep pushing, you know, amnesty. The non-starter. Trust me. All right. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, John Wolf up next with the news. And we'll be back after this.
Home of the smartest listeners in Southern California. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC, 1-800-222-5222. If you'd like to be on the program, sam@samnation.com is the email. So immigration and illegal immigration and DACA, which is the deferred action for kids that are brought with their parents here to the country, presumably with their parents. Many times they make the trek alone. Very dangerous, not good. And, well, this is the big debate right now. Trump's being called a bigot, a racist. He's a xenophobe, along with anybody that supports him. If you even care about any of the celebrities that should be, I don't know, singing or acting or I don't know. You know Chelsea Handler? So, you know, when she started her show on Netflix, it actually was tolerably funny for a hot minute. And she has become so virulently anti-Trump. I mean, she basically, if you touch Trump, if you're in the same room as Trump, you're a bigot. That's her latest position. It cannot be good for her business. Anyway, I digress. So you get all these people. You get people that are sounding off, and that's their shtick. Trump is a xenophobe. He hates brown people. You heard this. This is a literal quote from some goofball on CNN. Trump hates brown people because he wants to build a wall. That was the first thing. He wants to build a wall. Second, now because he ended DACA. Even though the thing was dead as a doornail more than a year ago, thanks to the courts. And I look at it this way. You know, you have a legal process of getting into a country that is open to all. There's nothing in the law that says it favors one group of people over another. We want good people here. We want immigrants. We just want them to come in legally. And I've said this over and over again. Trust me when I tell you, the illegal immigrants, those people who are here, like my parents, for whom it was one hell of a struggle to get to this country, nothing makes them more upset than, you know, watching illegal immigrants come to this country and then be treated as martyrs by the Democrats. Now, the Democrats give lip service all the time. In fact, Chuck Schumer back in 2009 was saying that the American people are fundamentally pro-illegal immigration and anti-illegal immigration. I think give lip service to this. And the same thing with the Republicans. The Republicans are just as notorious for this. And then they go to Washington and they don't do anything. You want to know my idea? Here's the plan. I am actually okay with some form of amnesty because I'm a practical person. And we got, you know, the concept of prosecutorial discretion is ingrained in the law, which is we have a finite amount of resources, right? If you've got a prosecutor somewhere, no matter how large or small, finite resources, you can't do it all. You can't prosecute everything. So the concept of booting millions and millions of people out of the country is not practicable. It's not. But this is why I want a wall, because I don't want amnesty without the freaking wall. That's my bright line here. That's where I say this is why Trump has to stick with the wall. It needs to be part of the deal. If you want amnesty, if you want DACA, if you want all this stuff that basically allows cheaters and, you know, and criminals, I'm sorry, you come into this country illegally, you're a criminal. You've broken the law. You overstay your visa, you've broken the law. So if you want to let these people into the country, okay, if you want to let them stay, let's put in some measures that guarantees that a next flood don't come in. Because trust me, when you have amnesty every 10 or 15 years, what kind of a message does that send to people out there in the world? Come on in. No problem. Hang out long enough, and sooner or later, you're guaranteed a pathway to citizenship. It's just not fair to those that do it right. All right, Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation. We'll be back right after this.
Say, what is this?
You know what it is. 790, 790,
790. KABC. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation. Have you ever been on the road and seen people do crazy things? I have, and that's because I live in Southern California. The 405, great place to see people doing crazy stuff. And if you're lucky enough, you get out of the way. But sometimes bad things happen. You get into an accident, and then what? Well, I'll tell you, one thing you don't want to do is try handling an accident like that on your own. Calling the insurance company, trying to negotiate with them, explaining to them where you hurt, why you hurt, and taking your medical bills. Don't do any of that. Just stop. Call Attorney Sweet James Bruner, the attorney we trust on this program to help you get through an accident. Give him a call. He's easy to talk to. He's a real guy. You know, he'll talk to you and he'll give you good advice. He'll guide you through it and maybe he can help you. Maybe he can get, and if he takes your case over, that's what you want. You want somebody there holding your hand, taking you through it step by step. 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Call him or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation, we're back live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. And one thing I thought of when I was mentioning these celebrities now who are, I mean, this is any discussion of anything that Trump does immediately provokes this shrill, shrieking reaction. And it reminded me of this article I had seen yesterday of Lonely Lives of Silicon Valley Conservatives. Now, you know Silicon Valley is where all the tech companies are. Apple, Google being the two big ones, Amazon. So you've got these tech companies who are very liberal, okay, very liberal. And in some respects, the culture in these companies is very open-minded. And I would say to a degree cynical and questioning. Because in order to build the best gadget, you kind of have to be that way. Your brain has to be wired to say, well, why is clamshell the best phone? Shouldn't we just put some glass on it and give it a big screen? I mean, to move products along, you've got to question the past and move forward. So apparently, though, when that Google engineer who put out that piece about gender in the workplace and such was fired, a lot of people that are working in these big firms kind of did a collective gulp. It was like, geez, I guess we can't say our opinions. And a guy here, there's a guy called Ram Chandani. I'm probably butchering the name. But anyway, his parents are immigrants from India. And he's a guy who works at Google, and he's an outspoken conservative guy, loves Trump. And he actually had this article in Bloomberg where he's talking about what it's like being a conservative in Silicon Valley working for Google, and that it's different now than it's ever been before. And this really resonated with me because I totally agree with him. I want to explain what he means, okay? There's a quote. He says, before, and this is before Trump, right? Before, you know, being maybe in the Bush years. Before, it used to be, I don't agree with you. That's it. I just don't agree with you. But now, he writes, it has evolved into this new thing that is much more aggressive. Don't even say something that is counter to what I believe. And that, I think, a lot of people are experiencing that right now. We're facing all these big issues. We, you know, immigration being one of them. But we can't even, you can't even say that you're anti-illegal immigration without the other side yelling you down, shouting you down, and calling you a racist, calling you a bigot, calling you a xenophobe. And this is, I think, one of my, you know, kind of really my principal problems with where things are right now. That we've, the media's created this very powerful caricature of Trump as being this buffoon, being this horrible, mean-spirited person, which, again, I don't know him personally, but I know people that know him personally, that have worked for him, that it's not who he is. But even aside from that, a lot of his positions, in the end, I think Trump is going to be viewed as a relatively middle-of-the-road, you know, politician. Not much very extreme about it. What is extreme, however, are these reactions to it. And I had a friend and a listener send me some text messages. I want to share this with you because it really illustrates this point. I think maybe you've had some of these, an experience similar to this. You're going to love this. I'm going to read some of these texts. I have her permission, so I'll read this to you when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Okay, now, have you now found yourself talking about your political opinions less because, just maybe because, your old friends, you know, people that you knew and loved, and everything was just hunky-dory, things were good when, you know, maybe they're a little left-wing, okay, but, you know, things were good under Obama because you were nice, you know, I mean, Obama was president, and you didn't really particularly like him, but you didn't go around calling him the son of Satan and telling your friend, I can't believe you support Obama. Oh my gosh, you are a foul person. You didn't do that. You bit your tongue. You went to dinner parties. You smiled when people were like, oh, I love him. I love him. I love him. And when Bush was president, you know, people probably overlooked some stuff too. Well, anyway, I have a friend here who sent me some text messages, and I think that you'll enjoy this because – so she writes to this guy. I'm going to rename him. His name has been changed to protect the innocent. So Matt, it's been – this is what my friend texts him. And now she's an immigrant from the Czech Republic, okay? Came to this country in her youth. Hi, Matt. It's been way too long since I have seen you last. You want to get together, blah, blah, blah. It's one of these things where, you know, it's like just let's get together. And the guy responds, Matt, quote unquote, responds, yeah, it's been since February. The next line is, do you still like and support Trump, especially on topics like racism, environment, truth, and decency? Have you ever gotten a text back from somebody like that, or have they said something to that effect? I think a lot of people have right now. Whew. So I love her. I love you. This is so beautiful. Okay, so she responds, well, what a loaded question. Yes, I support President Trump, and no, I don't agree with everything he says or does. However, My objections to Trump pale in comparison. This is, by the way, this is all one text message. It scrolls on to several pages here. My objections to Trump pale in comparison with my objections to, and then she does a list, BLM, Antifa, masked anarchists, illegal undocumented immigrants. See, told you, another immigrant that doesn't like illegal immigration. Radical Muslims, political correctness, fake media, statue removal, handouts, and entitled losers. If I were religious, I would thank the good Lord daily that Hillary is not at the White House and that idiots like, let's see, where does she say? Oh, my goodness. It goes on. Pelosi, Waters, Schumer, Warren cannot run amok. With all that said, can we continue being close friends? Let's just talk about other things that tie us together, not the politics. And his response is priceless. You've answered my question. It'll be a while for me then. One of her oldest friends. You know, I think everybody needs to take a chill pill. That's what the good doctor here on Sam Nation would prescribe. Just chill out. You know, nothing is as good or as bad as it seems. So to all of you that think that Trump is Satan incarnate, relax. Have a drink. Okay. We'll be back tomorrow night at 7. See you then.